Welcome back to the She's Electric podcast. Thank you all so much for joining us today. And I want to start just by thanking you all for being here today, for giving us your time and your attention. And today's episode is all about the precious commodity that no matter how rich or poor we are, no matter whether we live in London or in Lebanon, we all have in equal measures. Today's episode is all about time. You could have given your time to something else today. So we want to honor you for being here and for choosing this. And we're going to do our best to deliver value to you today through sharing our honest reflections and our own life experience. We've talked before on the pod about how we spend our time. In fact, we did a whole episode on Show Me How You Spend Your Time, and I'll show you who you're talking about, getting real about how we spend our time and what the results and outcomes are. So I'm just going to do that bit again.
Yeah, do it.
In fact, we did a whole episode on Show Me How You Spend Your Time and I'll Show You Who You Are, where we were talking about getting real with ourselves about how we're spending our time and what results and outcomes that is creating in our life. This week, we're diving one layer deeper into the topic of time, and we're zooming in on time management. And we're going to be sharing tools, tips, processes, and reflections, as well as accountability systems that we both use to manage our time. We wanted to record this episode because Pia and I are both in very different places in life at this moment, and we thought it could be interesting to share what's working for each of us in the time of life that we find ourselves in, and hope that by us sharing this conversation, we're not only getting inspired from each other, but also that something that one of us says might spark an idea that could help you. So let's get stuck in. Pia, when it comes to time management, what's working for you right now and what is not?
Oh my God, I have a love-hate relationship with time management systems. So I have adopted loads of different ones and I love learning about them. And then when I go to implement them in my life, they do not stick. And this year, after having a second baby, I have realized why. All of the planning systems that I was learning about, all the planning systems that I've seen out there are built by men for men, right? And I'm very grateful for these systems that they've built, but a lot of them require ultra focus. Like when you are in your hour of power or you're planning your week out, total and utter focus. And my day just doesn't work like that anymore. I can't say I'm going to spend an hour working on my website today because that's exactly when Rafi decides that he's going to wake up from a nap. You put a baby down and they just don't play ball, or you get a call from creche saying you need to collect your child. My entire day is just filled with curveballs, right? And that's not to say that I'm a victim of this situation, but it's the reality of the situation for a lot of working mothers. So I am in the process of trialing a new time management system, which has been built by me and my two women who I'm in a mastermind with. So I'm in my 30s, Angela's in her 40s, and Kelly's in her 50s. So we're all at different stages in our journey. And so we're trying to build a system that is going to work for women at every stage in their life. And so it's all about simplicity. I've done the RPM planning system by Tony Robbins, and I found it great. But when I tried to implement it in my life, it was a disaster, Kaya. And every day I was missing all the different things. There was just too much in it. And every day I was waking up to failure. I was just failing. So Kelly and Angela and I have simplified things where instead of having six different categories in my personal life and six different categories in my business, I have just gone, what are the two big ticket items that I need to move forward this quarter in my personal life and in my business? So what that looks like in my personal life right now is I am on a huge decluttering project. My house is, now that there's another human in it and there's extra baby stuff, it's like it's just not working anymore. And so part of that is I want to create systems where it's the drawers are clean and I have systems to keep them clean. Just, I know that this is where the stuff goes at the end of the day. And then at the end of the day, I take that basket and I put it away. And in my business, what I'm doing is I am working with a coach. They're called Brand Builders Group, and I'm working with them to bring my brand online. So before I had all these things in my head that I had to do, and I was just getting so scattered with everything. And with the brand builder thing, so I've taken on a bit of client work that I probably shouldn't have said yes to, but now I'm doing it. But I'm trying to see with the big ticket items, what is the other work underneath that that I can leverage to help me with this big ticket item? So I've got these two particular client projects, and I've realized through doing these client projects, I have the ideal people to speak to about my ideal customer avatar, all of the problems that they're having. So it's actually helping me with a lot of the brand building work that I'm doing with my coach. So I can speak to my client and I can say, what are the problems that you're having? So all of a sudden, the client work, which was giving me stress before, and I was going, why did I say yes to this? I'm now going, thank God I said yes to this. This is so cool because this is helping me achieve my big ticket item. And then one of the areas that I'm really focusing on is, okay, so they're the things that I'm doing. They're the big things that I'm doing. I'm really honing in on who am I being? And this is just something that I can keep in the back of my head all the time. Who am I being? Who am I being? What myself and Kelly and Angela have found is that we all tend to veer from our masculine energy to our feminine energy. So we've named this. We call our masculine energy Betty Business. She's all about business. Get shit done. And then there's Holistic Holly. She's creative, spiritual. She's the one who loves to meditate. It's this kind of stuff. And the three of us as people tend to veer more towards Betty Business. So I've created personas around who I want to be. Right now, Holistic Holly, I'm more in her energy right now because I'm on more of a spiritual growth journey. So I picture a triangle, like in my head, going, I lead with love. So that is who I am. When there's a situation happening, I lead with love. So if something goes wrong or a client is annoying, or instead of getting angry and letting my judge kick in, I go, no, Pia, who am I? I lead with love. And it just, funnily enough, it just softens everything when I remind myself of that. And it's like a little intention that before I go into an interaction with Stephen or something like that, I go, okay, I lead with love. The second one is, I am soft like water. So there's so many curveballs thrown at me throughout the day. I'm not getting as much sleep as I would typically like. And when I picture water, the way water flows, water is really strong, but it's very soft. It flows around things. So right now, you can't see it, but I am sitting in a room that is in total chaos. Enzo just went out and he emptied out all his toys. All the toys are on the floor. It's just like a big toy bomb went off. And I'm just sitting here going,
you look,
I'm
so
soft
serene.
Like water. Exactly. Because I'm like, I'm just trying to surf the wave.
I can't
chaos.
See any of the mess.
You can't see the mess. Exactly. See me sitting here on my couch. But it's reminding myself that I'm soft like water. It's actually, I'm asking you to please try it at home. When you go into a situation and you come down and the kids have messed everything up, or Steph is doing something that's irritating you, what happens? Your muscles tense. You go, oh. And when I say I'm soft like water, it just reminds me to soften my muscles. And then it's like me taking that little 5 second pause. And then I go in and I tackle what I need to tackle. But just having that, who am I being, is just that reminder. And then the third one on my Holly triangle is, I am having fun. Because I think, Kaya, you and I are both guilty of forgetting to have fun. It's like all about the work. It's all about the things that I have to do. And it's like, why are we doing all this stuff anyway? It's about having fun. So it's, say with Enzo, recently he had to be home because he had a temperature. So I was like, oh, what? Like my entire day has been thrown out. Oh, how am I going to do this? And you start going into the whole judge thing and tense muscles and everything. And I was like, okay, how could I make this fun? And so I decided I made protein bowls with him. We were cooking together. So that was a way of entertaining him. But it also helped me to get some stuff done that I needed to get done. And then in my Betty Business, what I have is the digital CEO. So I'm starting to step out of the identity of being an employee of my business. I have people working in my business right now, and my role is to give them the tools they need to do the job and then to step out of their way. So I'm trying to embody that and not be the person who's micromanaging, because that is an energy shift. I've been the employee of my business for so long, and I need to switch that identity. The second one is, I am the queen of systems. So I'm like, I need systems in my business. I need systems in my home, because everything has become more chaotic.
Yummy, yummy. Love that one.
So it's just, I remember when I'm putting stuff away, I'm like, I am the queen of systems. So then I actually systematize it, and I create this great system in my home where, instead of having to put everything away throughout the day, because just things just get messy, I have a basket at the bottom of my stairs. Anything that's not where it should be, I put into the basket. And then at the end of the day, I get the basket and I put everything back in its rightful place.
What a great tip.
Do you know, it's just something that's really easy. It means
Do it
I'm not
once.
putting stuff away all day. I'm the queen of systems. So you get the gist. It's really simple. I can have it in the back of my head all the time. And just having that shift toward who am I being is, it's just setting an intention around what is a new identity that I want to step into? Because the more that I step into this identity, the more I'm going to become that person. If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. I think that what's really beautiful about what you're saying is that you've recognized that some of the systems that you used in the past or that are more traditional systems of time management, not only were they designed by men, but they, regardless of that, they don't work for you right now.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
you've got loads of curveballs coming at you. And actually, it's when we are attached to something because it's what other people do, and but it's making us feel like a failure, that is the alarm bell, like, ding, ding, this isn't working for you, this isn't for you for now. And I think that it's, you use the word simplicity several times there, and I think that's something, whatever our circumstances are, that is so powerful for everybody. Like, when things are simple, they are achievable, and we can remember them and we're more likely to apply them. So I absolutely loved that you had created a system for you for right now that was building on that simplicity. And I think that the description you were giving about shifting from what are you doing into who are you being is something that we can all use. I'm in a very different situation right now, and what's interesting is that some of the systems that I have in place, they work for me 75% of the time, but 25% of the time they don't. So it's having that kind of, again, attachment to, I'm always going to do the system, like it's the system is the Bible, rather than my being is the Bible. Like, that is what's important above all else. Will lead me into that sense of failure, and it will lead me into this being something that's destructive for me rather than something that's productive for me. That being said, I will say a little bit about the time management processes that I use, which
work please
most of the time. And they are, I think when you were using the word, I am the queen of systems, like, I love systems and I am the queen of systems. Like, that,
you are the queen of, I'm trying to be the queen of systems. You
that
are.
Speaks to me so much, because I think that's naturally, sometimes when we think about what are the things that we're good at that other people find hard, and it's, I am very good at discipline and systems and being, I don't find it difficult to, if I commit to something, to following through with it. So what works for me, because I know that about myself, is that I want to move away from decision fatigue. I want to make as little decisions as possible during my day. And so what I do on a Sunday is, it's similar to what you're doing. I'm thinking, like, what are the most important things for me to achieve this week? And that's tied to what are the most important things for me this year. So I spoke about it on the pod before. Like, for me, this year is all about group programs. And that means that needs to be like front of my mind every single week, because otherwise I'll get caught up in all this other. So that's front of mind. And then I'll start thinking, what does that mean this week? And maybe that means this week, this morning I just pitched to an organization, but another week it might be that I'm doing outreach. It might be that I'm having a discovery call, but that needs to be the, when I'm thinking about my week, I'm thinking about that being important. So on a Sunday, with these kind of most important things in my week, another thing could be, I need to be in bed early because I'm tired. So like, the things that are the most important to me, they do change on a weekly basis, but what they're about is, they're usually about managing my energy, acting in alignment with what I have said is most important for me this year. And that is, one of the things is about my business. The other thing is my marriage. And the other thing is my, like, my physical health and my well-being. So what I need to prioritize on a different week might be different. One week it might be that I'm really tired, I need to rest. Another week it might be like, I need to get out on my bike, I need to reconnect with myself. And then it's always got that bit in there about the group programs. And then what I'm doing is, I'm putting all of these priorities on my calendar. So I am time blocking on my calendar. And the reason that I'm doing that is because I don't want to go and get to work on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday and open up my calendar and just see my meetings and gaps in between. Because then every single day, I'm having to think about what my plan is for the day. It's a bit like that kind of basket that you're putting at the bottom of the stairs every yeah. day. I want to do that sorting and that planning as little as possible. What that means is that I'm calendar blocking things like preparation. So I might notice that, for example, I've got a pitch later on in the week, and I'm going to make sure that I've got 2 hours on my calendar to prepare for that so that I don't feel rushed, and I'm always going to put a little bit more time than I necessarily need. I'm also doing quite a lot of different trainings at the moment. I'm training to become a certified hypnotherapist, an NLP practitioner. I'm doing my AI mastery. I'm also doing a Joe Dispenza advanced meditation retreat shortly, which has a lot of pre-learning. So all of that learning that needs to be on my calendar, I need to have that time protected on my calendar. Otherwise, I'm going to feel overwhelmed and I'm going to feel like, when am I going to do all of this stuff? Because what I notice is that when I don't have these time blocks and I'm making decisions on a daily basis, the first thing that I do is I open my emails or I open LinkedIn, and then I waste time doing something that doesn't matter. If I wake up in the morning, I open my calendar and it says, prepare for this conversation, I'm literally like, cool, close it down. And I just spend 2 hours preparing. Or it says, you know, hypnotherapy study. I'm like, oh, yummy. Like, I've got an hour and a half to do like my hypnotherapy trainings.
And so when you are doing this planning, so you do it on a Sunday evening, do you? Mm-hmm. That's when you've allotted your time. And how do you, so I know that you have group coaching. This is one of the things, this is your big ticket item that you need to move forward. Do you ever look at your calendar on a Monday morning and go, oh, I don't want to do this? How do you get into the right zone with it, what you want to work on?
Yeah, so that's such a great question. And I think that this kind of refers to that 25% of the time when this system doesn't work for me and how I mitigate that. And what this looks like is that some of the time, like recently in the last week, I am experiencing a cycle of grief. Or for somebody else, it could be that you are on your period or something is happening which is making you feel a particular way that you can't just brush off. So for me, at the weekend, it was 6 months since Luca had died, my 2-year-old son. And so I was very tired. I was fighting the experience of grief a little bit, but like the overall way that this affected me was that I couldn't do the things that I would normally do. I was really exhausted, and what I needed to do was I needed to rest. This week, one day I slept until 10, another day I slept until 8, which is quite out of character for me. And so what I was doing this week is looking at my calendar and actually just being cognizant to what's actually essential here. So an example of that would be like, what's essential is that I'm having the conversation with this client, I'm with this potential client, I'm going to be doing the pitch. What's not essential is that 2 hours prep time, because realistically, what matters most is that I'm taking care of my energy and I'm making myself, I'm filling my cup up so that I'm going to be able to perform at the thing I definitely have to do. So there's quite a lot of, the way that I color code my calendar is that the things that are actually not essential, they are color coded a particular color so that if I am feeling a particular way or something does come up, I know that these things are not essential and I literally just delete them off my calendar. And it's this age-old lesson that you were just talking about, Pia, about being the CEO versus being the employee, where no one's telling me off apart from myself. No one's insisting that I need 2 hours to prepare for this conversation apart from me. And whilst that's how I want to operate in an ideal world, it's not essential. And it really is just about me tuning into what are my priorities, caring for my overall health and well-being, managing my energy, like that is front and center. So if I need to sleep in till 10 a.m., which is not going to happen that often, but it is going to happen sometimes, then whatever's on my calendar is going to get deleted off.
Okay, so there is a good bit of flexibility in your planning system.
I don't take any calls in the morning, actually. When I was working with my coach yesterday, one of the commitments that I actually made to myself is that I don't start work until 11. And leaning on my discipline, I was like, I'm disciplined enough to know that my time in the morning is going to make me better at my job or something like that. Because I noticed that I'd just been filling up my calendar. I was like taking this to the extreme. And it was veering into what we were just talking about, which is, you know, it's a failure.
One thing I would like to let people know is, like, speaking of curveballs, I've had to keep running. I've had to keep running away to go get Rafi and put his dodo back in his mouth. So in terms of curveballs, this is like live.
This is real. This is real life.
Exactly. This is real life. And this is recording a podcast when you're a new mom. But one thing I was going to say is I listened to a podcast a few years ago. It was a woman who had created a business. It was a very successful business that she only worked 16 hours a week. And the interviewers asked her, how did you create that? Did you get to a certain point and then all of a sudden you decided you were going to work 16 hours a week? And she said, no, I was only able to work 16 hours a week because that was the max amount of childcare that I could afford. So I had to get the job done in that time. And so it actually really made me think that when you start out setting those boundaries, you just learn to work within those limitations that you've set yourself. And so you can take 8 hours a day to do the job, or you can say, I'm going to give myself 4 hours and I'm just going to get shit done. And you do get shit done.
I love that you brought this up. I know the exact podcast that you're talking about. You know what's so important about this point that you're making is that when you work for yourself, when you take a longer period of time doing stuff, you are just reducing your hourly wage. You are just
That's a good point.
So you are just making yourself, like, when you spend twice as long as you need to doing something, you are making yourself half as expensive. And I think that was a real light bulb moment for me where I'm like, oh, no, I will not be responsible for reducing my hourly wage by 50%.
Oh my God, Kaya, that is such a reframe. That now I'm like, hell no, I'm not taking hours to get something done. You're right. That's exactly what it is. There's one thing, though, that I hear a lot from female clients who have young kids, which is they feel like they're on a hamster wheel, that it's as soon as they get home, they're doing the washing, there's all these tasks that are there every single day, like the cooking, the cleaning. And then the next day they wake up and those same tasks are still there. So I do see a lot of helplessness around, I can't get out of this hamster wheel. I can't get off it. I have the number one excuse, I have no time. What would you say to women who feel like they are stuck in that loop?
I love this question. And I think it's a combination of the things that we've been talking about today. I think it's about time blocking. I think it's about matching these activities and saying, I do this on this day. You've got a plan, but you're not attached to the plan like it's a noose around your neck. Mm-hmm. You can't do it for one day. The world's not going to collapse because you didn't get this thing done. It's going to be fine. But at the same time, like, when you, I really do think, like, when you block out time to do particular things, when you don't have something blocked, then you are free, right? It creates space. It creates freedom. Planning creates freedom.
Absolutely. And because I've always resisted having structure and I'm always like, systems, no, they're going to limit me. But what I've realized since meeting Kaya is that systems in your life give you freedom in your life. Systems in your home give you freedom in your life. Systems in your business give you freedom in your life. I actually really resonate with that style of time management, which is just to create a general block. These are the things I want to get done today. I can't put it into a specific time. Just like now, I thought Rafi would sleep for an hour and a half. He's not. He slept for 20 minutes. So now he's sitting on me. So there's a little bit of a curveball there, but it's just, you adapt. But then last night, I knew I had to get part one of this new menu that I'm doing for a client done. I had time between 8 and 9. Usually I don't work late at night, but I was like, do you know what? I feel good. I've got energy. I'm just going to do this. And the amount I got done in an hour, I was amazed by. But it's because I didn't hold myself to something and say, I'm going to get this done at exactly between 4 and 5. I'm going to get it done. And then something happens, I can't get it done, and then I feel like a failure.
Yeah, I love the thing that you said earlier about this just simple system of having a basket at the bottom of your stairs where you put everything into it. So that's such a great example of you're batching tidying up.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm done with doing this all day long. I'm batching
it.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen at one time in the day later on. And I think that that's what people can do. You don't need to be able to, you don't need to time block things to a specific time, but you do, you will benefit whatever you're doing in your life. I really strongly believe by batching and by just putting a loose plan in on what days you're going to do particular things. So thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that your cogs are whirring with ideas for how you could up-level your time management. And I want to end today's episode by offering you a few simple reflections to crystallize any inspiration that has arisen for you in today's episode. So the first question is, how do you think about prioritization? And the second question is, do you have a process for planning and managing your time? What is working for you right now and what is not? Thank you for joining us.